American made, but life serving late. My mama taught me wrong from right. I was born in the South. Sometimes I have a big mouth when I see something that I don't like. I gotta say it.
All right, it's Michelle Morin here to tell you what big media won't on the Michelle Morin After Hours podcast. I'm here with Jason, my producer, and this podcast is to cover all the stuff that I couldn't cover in my live two-hour show on Sunday, July 30th from 9 to 11. There's just so much that goes on in a week that big media just won't tell you about. So this is our overflow time. So we're going to start with a quote. We're going to start with a quote from Daniel Horowitz. He's a writer for Conservative Review. I find that I read a lot of his stuff. He's very focused on the Obamacare issue, and he's very, very informed and educated about that. But here's the line he wrote in an article earlier this week. This one's a keeper. Quote, "The GOP is to political parties what CNN is to news coverage." Unquote. Is that not the most accurate quote you've seen in a long time? Our GOP, we've got the Triple Crown. Remember when Trump got elected and then we had, you know, a majority in the House and majority in the Senate? It's like, wow! And I remember talking to lawmakers and everybody's, you know, doctors, and this is what's going to happen when Obamacare gets repealed. We were all expecting Obamacare to be repealed. Because why? Oh, yeah. Because for 7 years, the GOP said they were going to repeal it, and we were in power. And what a failure that's been. So the House puts up the Ryan Care bill. At the time, Trump was for it, and I honestly just don't think Trump gets this. I think he's starting to, but as it's unfolded, I just really don't think he gets the whole Obamacare problem. So I called it the Ryan Trump Care bill back then. They didn't even go to a vote on that one because it was such a fail. So then it came to the Senate this last week, and the Senate put forward their own version of Obamacare, and it was horrible. It was horrible. Senator Cruz added an amendment that would have given the insurers, the insurance companies, the ability to offer. If they offered an exchange package, an Obamacare package, as long as they did that, they could offer choice insurance, like the stuff that we were used to before Obamacare came along. And he voted for that. That got included in the Senate's version of the Obamacare repeal and replace, which is such a joke. It wasn't a repeal. It wasn't even a replace. It was just another, how many pages, Jason?
It was 144, I believe.
Okay, Jason printed it out, and we combed through it, and
yeah. It's not a repeal and a replace, it is an adjustment.
There you go.
That's literally what it is. We're going to adjust a few things and just keep it going.
Yeah. Well, anyway, that failed, and I'm glad it did. And then Senator Rand Paul from Kentucky put forward a true, honest-to-goodness repeal Obamacare bill. Now, he did it because back in, what was it, 2015, 2016, when Obama was the president, the GOP did pass a repeal bill. But guess what? They knew that Obama would veto it. So,
well, and the reason he put it up again is because everyone was disagreeing on what should or shouldn't be in this new bill. So he said, well, if we can't agree right now, let's just repeal it and then figure that out as we go. Let's
great idea.
Yeah.
Great idea.
And they voted on that before. They're like, oh, yeah, we'll do it before in 2015, but it's not possible. Well, yeah, sure, let's agree to that.
Yeah, they've got all this bravado and spine when they know it's going to be vetoed.
Mm-hmm.
So they had the opportunity to vote on it again, and it didn't pass.
Mm.
All right. 7 GOP voted against a pure repeal. A pure repeal. Tell me why a pure repeal can't take place. Because if your replacement is so good, if your idea of replacing it is so good, why can't it wait until the slate's clean? There's more going on here. Well, we have 7 GOP who voted against it. One was not a GOP who formally promised to repeal Obamacare. And there were six GOP lawmakers who, during the Obamacare administration, campaigned on the promise of repealing Obamacare. And these six, I'll name them. Let's name names. Nevada's Dean Heller. West Virginia's Shelley Moore Capito. Oh, my favorite, Arizona, John McCain. And you know from my voice, I'm being sarcastic about him being my favorite. Oof. Tennessee's Lamar Alexander. Alaska's Lisa Murkowski. Ohio's Rob Portman. Maine's Susan Collins. They all voted against a clean repeal bill.
Recently. But yeah. They agreed to it in 2015.
Yes. And this was, I want to say this was Wednesday of last week. And the vote failed 45 to 55. 45 to 55 because the seven GOP, six of whom had promised to repeal Obamacare during Obama's administration and who voted to repeal Obamacare during Obama's administration, hightailed it and ran and refused to repeal it. So what, let's prove that they actually said that they would repeal Obamacare. Okay, so Lamar Alexander, he said the wisest course is to repeal Obamacare and replace it step by step with solutions that lower health care costs. All right? He said the wisest course is to repeal it, but he didn't vote on that. Shelley Moore Capito said, I have consistently voted to repeal and replace this disastrous health care law, and I am glad that a repeal bill will finally reach the president's desk. Well, then why did you vote against it, Ms. Capito? Dean Heller said this, D.C. bureaucrat-driven health care system will only result in limited health care choices and higher costs for Nevadans. Okay? Lisa Murkowski said, this law is not affordable for anyone in Alaska. That is why I will support the bill that repeals the Affordable Care Act and wipes out its harmful impacts. I can't watch premiums for Alaskans shoot up by 30% or more each year, see businesses artificially constrained, or see the quality of public education decline. Okay, these are all the promises that these traitors mm-hmm. made to their constituents.
That they campaigned on.
They campaigned on it. Rob Portman. I'm for repealing this broken law and replacing it with something better that gives patients more choice, decreases costs, and increases access to quality, affordable care. And then there's John McCain. And we actually have some audio from John McCain's promise to repeal. Here's a quote from him. It's clear that any serious attempt to improve our health care system must begin with a full repeal and replacement of Obamacare, and I will continue fighting on behalf of the people of Arizona to achieve it. I can't take credit for digging up these quotes. Breitbart put these together and found these campaign promises from these six traitor GOP, who are basically the equivalent of CNN newsmakers. And let's play the audio. Jason actually found a campaign video from Senator McCain when he was running for office. And in the video, he himself doesn't actually come out and say he'll repeal Obamacare, but he's got a woman talking about how terrible Obamacare is, and then you'll hear McCain's quote at the end. Yep.
Obamacare is failing Arizonans. First, a massive rate hike, more than twice the national average. Then, America's largest health insurer abandoned Arizona's failing Obamacare exchange. That's devastating, especially to rural counties. While Kirkpatrick's proud of putting us at risk, John McCain is leading the fight to stop Obamacare.
I'm John McCain, and I approve this message.
There you go. McCain campaigned on repealing Obamacare. All six of these senators did. They are complete traitors to the GOP. They aren't GOP. And I even found that McCain, he's just a petty man who was out for revenge.
Before you go ahead, I wanted to point out literally, what, 2 weeks ago?
Mm-hmm.
We could, McConnell didn't want to go to a vote because McCain was in surgery, and he said, we need to come, we need to wait for McCain
right.
to come back so he can vote because we need everyone here. Under the impression that McCain was going to vote for the repeal.
Oh,
so
yeah.
let's wait and make sure we have every vote because every vote counts. Why? We just wasted 2 weeks. We could have just said, no, it's not going to pass.
Yeah, we could have.
That's just, everyone here is liar, so no, it's not going to pass.
Well, speaking of McCain, what was it? Now, you and I were talking about this during a break. McCain's got an axe to grind with Trump and always has, but there's one particular thing that Trump said that kind of causes, you know, me to believe that this was just personal vengeance against Trump so that Trump can't own repeal.
Yeah, that was, I believe it was during Trump's campaign.
Mm-hmm.
He caught a lot of heat from everybody, and I think mm-hmm. rightfully so. But
right.
Trump came out and said, I like my war heroes not captured.
Yep.
Meaning that McCain wasn't a good person, wasn't a war hero. He was not. It was a knock against McCain.
It was a big knock. It was a knock against all POWs.
Well, and I think the intention was just to go after McCain,
right.
but Trump worded it very poorly.
He did. He did. And I'm sure McCain hasn't let go of that. McCain never liked him too much anyway, but I've got some sources here. There's a guy, his name is Jack Posobiec. Now, I looked him up. He's certainly a Trump supporter. I think he's just kind of a solo journalist. And, you know, if Jack, if you're listening and you're not a solo journalist, you can correct me. Contact me at michelle@kvor.com. I just want to make sure that my listeners know that you all know that this isn't a journalist that is affiliated with a major big media outlet, which is not a bad thing.
Yeah, for good or worse.
Yes. I just want you to know. Yeah. He tweeted, so he watches what's going on. He tweeted this on the 28th, which was Friday. He tweeted, multiple Hill staffers confirmed last night McCain was heard laughing with Dems and remarked, let's see Donald make America great again now. Now, I also need to qualify this. I looked for multiple Hill staffers online to see if anyone else came out and said this. Everyone referenced this tweet. So take this with a grain of salt.
Yeah.
May or may not be legit because this is a very, very pro-Trump person. But that's out there. So I'm just sharing with you what's out there. But you can watch video and see that McCain was hugging Dianne Feinstein, California Democrat Feinstein, and the Washington Post reported that he called Schumer, New York's Democrat, to tell him that he was going to vote no before he went to the floor. And reporters asked McCain about his vote as he headed to the Senate chambers. McCain told them to wait for the show. You know what? Brain cancer or no, POW or no, you know what? You're just being a jerk. And you're not, I mean, you're not immune to criticism for your vengeance and your traitorous behavior toward the GOP.
Yeah.
I
and his blatant lies to
his
constituents.
To his constituents.
I'm literally, he said he was going to repeal it.
Yeah. Nope. As did the other.
Yeah.
The other five.
And I just want to make a note. He said that he was allegedly, McCain commented that, you know, try to make America great again to the
mm-hmm.
other Dems. I'm pretty sure I remember McConnell saying something
yes.
along those lines
he
a
did.
Few weeks ago.
He did. McConnell did say that. And he said it on microphone and on
yeah,
camera.
Yeah, he was. That's not alleged. That was like
yeah.
broadcast. So I'm just.
These guys hang out together.
It's one thing to, you know, not agree or to have quibbles about how Trump is doing things. But when you're stopping him at every turn, I mean, come on.
I know. Well, they're buddies.
You're going out of your way to impede anything he's doing.
Yep.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
And literally not doing what you said you would do.
Never mind you and me who end up paying skyrocketing premiums and, you know, single payer. So all this is going on. While across the ocean, there's a baby who got the plug pulled on him.
Yeah.
Little Charlie Gard. It's a really depressing story. Little baby boy born in Britain under the Britain's nationalized health care. He was born with, let's see if I can pronounce this, encephalomyopathic mitochondrial DNA depletion syndrome. It's a rare disease, only 16 current cases in the world, and he's born into a nationalized healthcare system that can't save him, which is your first red flag. When a nationalized, you know, when a healthcare system, I hate that word, because that means we don't have a free market anymore. It's a system that's run by government bureaucrats. When they can't help you, they think that there's no other answer. I mean, they are God in their country.
I'd like to – actually, I want to make a disagreement with that. It's not that they can't help you. It's that they won't help you because it costs too much.
Well, you're right.
That's what it is. That's what it boils down to. We won't help you. It's possible, but it costs too much.
Because you can't pay for your own health care. These parents raised $1.2 million in like a GoFundMe account privately to try to bring their baby here to America, which is not completely enmeshed in single payer yet, because there's still technology and the research going on. And a doctor, an American doctor, flew over to Britain, believed he could try to help this baby with some experimental drugs and some tests. And I'll tell you, I've got some quotes here from the British health system. Let me try to find those. This is, it's disgusting. They are so condescending. And the reason I point this out is because the week that we had the opportunity to repeal Obamacare and take away nationalized health care, Charlie Gard dies because nationalized health care pulls the plug on this little baby. Didn't have to happen. Did not have to happen. In fact, his parents wanted him to die. If he had to die, they wanted to take him home, and they wanted him to die in their arms. They didn't want him to die in a hospital. The stinking hospital wouldn't even let them bring him home.
Yeah.
Wouldn't even let them bring him home.
You have no choice at all.
So this was on Friday. They decided, I mean, they had no more fight in them. The parents hadn't, they had no other options. The hospital is called Great Ormond Street Hospital. The acronym is GOSH. So when I refer to GOSH.
Who named that hospital?
So, GOSH had a lot of comments to make, and to me, they're just about the most infuriating thing you could hear. Very condescending, and they really do believe they are God. It's infuriating, and I think I got on a rabbit trail. Charlie Gard's parents had raised money to bring the baby over here, and the British government would not let them bring him.
Yeah.
Wouldn't even let them take him out for his to die in his parents' arms in their home. But the judge who, this is according to Daily Mail, the judge who had been due to decide Charlie Gard's fate praised the parents and the, quote, loving care they have given at all times to their wonderful boy Charlie, adding, quote, no parents could have done more for their child. Does that not just...
BS on that judge. Nope. Mm-hmm.
The judge said the couple now had to face reality and would suffer many more dark days. He praised the GOSH medics who had worked tirelessly.
To stop?
To
stop healthcare?
To stop healthcare?
They did everything they could to stop it.
And the judge said it was a disgrace that the staff had been subjected to abuse and threats.
Yeah, that's the disgraceful part. The killing of a small child.
Right. Thank you. I'm speechless at the gall. Is that the word I'm looking for? That this.
Wait. Well, we can never be at fault. We're the government. We know what's good for you.
We're God. The GOSH Hospital said this. So that was the judge. Here's the GOSH Hospital. The agony, desolation, and bravery of the guards. Decision.
Really? Okay.
Command GOSH's utmost respect and humble all who work there. But they also insisted that the U.S. doctor, Dr. Michio Hirano, could not have helped him. They raised the issue of his financial links to the drug he was offering Charlie. In a damning assessment of his claims, the hospital said, on July 13th, Dr. Hirano stated that not only had he not visited the hospital to examine Charlie, but in addition, he had not read Charlie's contemporaneous medical records, reviewed Charlie's brain imaging, or read all of the second opinions about Charlie's condition. Further, Gosch was concerned to hear the professor state for the first time whilst in the witness box that he retains a financial interest in some of the compounds he proposed prescribing for Charlie. There's a lot wrong with what Gosch just said about this doctor. Number one, they raised the issue of the financial links, that he has a financial interest in some of the compounds he proposed prescribing for Charlie. Who cares?
And at the same time, they're saying this while they kept this child. And I assume being paid for it because they had to take care of him while this was all going on.
Did they not have a financial interest in letting him
go?
Keep
him there and not let him go to somewhere else.
It's disgusting. And who are they to say, you know, it makes my stomach turn that they're trying to turn the doctor into doing this for financial gain only. Mm-hmm. Really? I mean, anyone can say that. Anyone can say that. And I frankly don't care. The parents raised the money.
Yeah.
And it's their money and their child, but not according to the big God government of Britain.
Yeah. And me specifically, when I've read this, I've read details about this story, I blame the government completely 100%.
The blood of this baby's on their hands.
Yes, because the initial medical reports are what the doctor from America got. And he looked at them and said, I can probably help this child. Mm-hmm. But then after months and months, this was in January when he got all these reports.
Okay.
Months and months of arbitration and can you go, can you not? That just led his condition to get worse and worse. And
yes.
By the time he got there, the doctor said, I'm sorry, it's been too long. I cannot help you now.
Exactly. They said the window had closed.
The window is closed. And you know why? Because it took so long because the government just wanted to stop and think for them. We know what's better for you.
It's disgusting.
And that is their fault. That doctor, if they would have flown in January, February, whenever they could have, we don't know.
Possibly. He might be alive.
Something could have happened, but now there's no possibility.
There's no. It's disgusting. Okay, here's some more comments from the hospital. This is a position statement prepared by the hospital's QC, I guess, quality control? I could be wrong about
that. I'm guessing about that.
Katie Gollop. It said, whilst Gosch has striven to work with them throughout, Charlie's needs have taken priority. It is greatly hoped that in the days ahead it will be possible to extend to his parents the same quality of care which Charlie has been provided and to concentrate on the family as a whole.
Whoa. To me, that sounds like a threat. We're going to murder you because we murdered your child. We're going to give you the same care? I would not want that kind of care.
It's horrible.
No.
Okay. So this to me is so symbolic of what happened in our country this week. Our GOP is basically, they have just set the wheels in motion. They were supposed to throw a wrench in the gears of Obamacare. They've just oiled it. The gears and everything. In fact, you have a clip from Bernie Sanders. Do you have that?
Oh, I do have that.
Now that the GOP has failed America completely and ensured that we've got single payer, Bernie Sanders, you know, has something to say about it. I'm just going to let him speak for himself. Bernie Sanders and the Dems are thrilled with what's happened last week.
Oh, yeah.
When you were on the program on July 2nd, you told me you were going to introduce a single-payer health care plan literally as soon as we're through with the Republican health care debate. It seems like we're through, and the Obamacare repeal effort has collapsed. Are you going to introduce single-payer?
Absolutely. Of course we are. We're just, you know, we're tweaking the final points of the bill, and we're figuring out how we can mount a national campaign to bring people together. Here's where we are, Jake, and it's important for Americans to understand this.
That's good. That's the plan all along.
Yeah.
Single payer, single payer, single payer. Now, I have a lot to say about that. Trump, I swear he doesn't know what to do with all this. He's tweeted. Let's find the tweet. Unless the Republican senators are total quitters, Repeal and replace is not dead, and demand another vote before voting on any other bill. I like that.
Yes.
I like that because they're going on recess. They're going on recess. What have they done?
Well, it's really hard to argue and lie to your constituents for, what, the last 2 days that they work? How long do they work in a row? I don't even know.
I don't
like
either.
A month, maybe?
I don't know. We'll have to find out.
I have to look that up.
Yep. Now Trump is saying, he also tweeted, I was talking to Jason about this earlier. With Trump, you just never know. And you, as my listeners, know I am back and forth. He makes me angry. He makes me cheer. But I love that today. I love that he tweets. Generally speaking, I love that he tweets. I think someone needs to, as Jason says, maybe help him rephrase a few things.
Be an advisor, not a filter, because then I think it would get watered down, but an advisor. Okay. Say maybe you should leave this part out or that part.
Write your tweet, hand it to somebody, and let them just
tweak it a little.
Tweak it a little. And then Trump, you can still hit
tweet. You can tweet. Allow him final word.
Right. But anyway, he also tweeted, let's see. That's where do I want to start here? He tweeted a lot here, a lot about getting Republican Senate must get rid of 60 vote. Now it's killing the Republican Party. Allows 8 Dems to control the country. 200 bills sit in the Senate, a joke. Well, actually, it was 7 Republicans who ended up determining the fate of Obamacare last week. But that's beside the point. He may have tweeted that before then. He says now, if a new health care bill is not approved quickly, bailouts for insurance companies and bailouts for members of Congress will end very soon. Interesting. Interesting. Let's see what he actually does with this. He's Kellyanne Conway says he's going to make an actual decision on that this week. And of course, everyone's freaking out. If you don't go out, you go forward with the subsidies, people are going to die.
Yeah. No matter what you do, people are going to die.
People are going to die. So it's interesting. It seems like Trump maybe, hopefully somebody's got his ear about the gravity of this. It sounds like he understands it, but he kind of goes back and forth on, the bills that come forward. He's like, yeah, pass it, pass it, pass it. He's so eager to get something passed. Sometimes it seems he doesn't care what's passed. He just wants something passed.
I think he's just over. I mean, me personally, I would be overwhelmed if I woke up in the morning to healthcare problems. And then at 10 o'clock, I got North Korea problems. And then at 12 o'clock, I got Russia problems. I would just be overwhelmed.
Just get
that done, because I have 15 other problems I'm going with right now.
Well, I printed out his tweets this morning. The most recent one I have, I know he's tweeted more since then, is, don't give up, Republican senators. The world is watching. Repeal and replace and go to 51 votes. Nuke option, get cross state lines and more. So, Trump actually, if he's serious about repealing Obamacare, one of the things he could do if the GOP doesn't get off of its behind and not take recess and get back and actually start to do something, Trump can, if he's smart, and if he actually shares the same passion against Obamacare that you and I share, he can, how he threatened to help certain Republicans in primaries?
Mm-hmm.
He's always back and forth as to, does he really support conservatives or does he support the establishment? Yeah. Well, if he's serious about this and he wants to get involved, that's where he can get involved, is in those 2018 primaries and get these establishment and moderate Republicans out and try again. But the other thing, I don't see the tweet here, but I know that he's mentioned again, okay, forget it, let's just let Obamacare implode. Well, that's a great idea until it just depends on who's in power when it implodes, because the nature of Obamacare is that it will implode. Yeah. The left knew what they were doing when they devised Obamacare. The whole idea is to out the free market, create a crisis so that the premiums are so expensive, so that Americans can't afford health care, so that Americans cry out and say, do something. And do something, you and I want it to be repealed and get back to the free market. But this is a crisis that the left menu has manufactured. Obama and the Democrats knew what they were doing. They knew it would come to this. They knew, they're just laughing because it's all working out as planned, except, the plan was the GOP was supposed to repeal it, and they didn't. So they're laughing even harder because that was like a bonus joke. But once it implodes, then we're at the crossroads of, does big government step in and make it bigger? And I'm afraid that's what's going to happen. Oh. And it's a great idea to let it implode and then just kind of let the free market pick it up. But I don't think in reality that's what would happen.
No one has the guts to do that.
No.
They don't.
By design, it's intended to implode, and it is designed to usher in single payer as a solution, just like Bernie Sanders said in the audio we brought forward.
I think the only snag that the Democrats have hit is that they assumed that Obamacare was going to implode and just fail completely next couple of years, and Hillary was going to be there to put in single payer.
Oh, right, right.
Now they have a couple extra steps of, oh, well, we need to make it look bad. We need to force all these moderate Republicans to join with us to get single payer going.
And it's a remarkably resilient thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, it's still going to implode. I mean, we're still under Obamacare, so the evolution of single payer is still in process. The premiums are still going to go up. Americans are still going to be hurting. Like I said, Republican senators could face primaries in 2018. Maybe, just maybe. And then the convention of states, ever since, you know, when Obama, I have some statistics somewhere, I have to find them. While Obama was in office, more states went to Republican governors and Republican legislatures. And that paves the way for the convention of states, which is really, can you imagine if we get a convention of states? Term limits! Term limits! An amendment to bring term limits.
First thing. That's the first thing I hope happens.
It's so bad. There's a couple in New York that jumped to their deaths on Friday. They left suicide notes basically saying that they couldn't afford their health care.
Really?
Yep. Yeah. 53-year-old chiropractor Glenn Scarpelli and his wife, 50-year-old Patricia Collant, were found in the middle of the street on 33rd Street between Park and Madison Avenues, after they jumped from a ninth-floor window of a 17-story corner office building at 5:45 in the morning. The husband left a suicide note in his pocket and said, we had a wonderful life. The wife had a suicide note, and it said, in sum and substance, our kids are upstairs. Please take care of them. The husband's note said, Patricia and I had everything in life. It touched on how the couple had a financial spiral and cannot live with the financial reality of medical cost struggles. So apparently, according to the notes, this couple decided to commit suicide because they were in financial trouble, and they blamed it specifically on medical costs that they couldn't pay for. So make what you want out of that. But I thought Obamacare was supposed to not kill people.
Yeah. Well, we have at least two confirmed victims.
Right. Okay. Also in that vein, this is from Colorado Politics. Colorado's own Senator Cory Gardner had some words of GOP wisdom. He says, it's frustrating that now the recent repeal and replace vote is over. We're starting to finally hear supporters of the Affordable Care Act make some of the exact points about the problems with the Affordable Care Act that they attacked Republicans for making over the last few months. We're finally starting to hear those, he's talking about Democrats, that refuse to work with Republicans, admit the costs are going up under this law and something needs to be done to address it.
Well, yeah, we need to go to single payer. It would make it cheaper, right?
He added that he, Cory Gardner, has worked so hard to replace this government takeover of our health care for one reason only. My constituents. He said, the vote last night can't stop this effort. I've always urged Democrats to work with Republicans in a bipartisan manner to find solutions that drive down costs and stabilizes the insurance market. I'm not going to stop trying to fix this health care problem. The status quo is unacceptable. Unquote. All right. Those are words of a big government guy. He's always urged Democrats to work with Republicans in a bipartisan manner. I'm sorry. Bipartisan does not mean Republican. Bipartisan means you're compromising your values and going left.
And not only that, that wouldn't even matter in this scenario unless he got all the Democrats to agree.
I know.
He couldn't even get his own party to fully agree.
No. And he wants to find a solution that drives down cost and stabilizes the insurance market. That's Politico speak for subsidizing and controlling the prices, if you ask me. Now, if the senator wants to call me and correct me, go for it, Senator Gardner. I'm here at 740 KVOR, and you know how to reach me. He says, I'm not going to stop trying to fix this healthcare problem. Well, get on the bandwagon and repeal it again. You know, Senator Gardner, if you really want to be a hero, forget the Democrats. We don't work with Democrats. Every single Democrat voted against the repeal. Okay? Every single Democrat voted against the repeal. They don't want repeal. And seven of you guys don't want repeal either. And as our president said, get back in there and get it done. If you're a great leader, forget bipartisan. You're in power. Who cares? We don't need to work with the Democrats. We're in power. I don't get this. Yeah. Why are we talking bipartisan when we're in power? Why?
I don't understand either. And if he's so worried about his constituents, why is he just going to blow hot air?
I don't know. All right. So that's our fearless Cory Gardner. And now I'm hearing, we talked about this a little bit a couple months ago. It's kind of just kind of passing under the radar. So this is from the Wall Street Journal. U.S. Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin says that the federal borrowing limit, the debt ceiling, needs to be raised by September 29th, or the government risks running out of money to pay its bills. Oh. So we've got a Republican Treasury Secretary saying we need to raise the debt limit. This is infuriating, and for the very reason that everyone listening, I know that you are infuriated too. When I can't pay my bills, I don't get to go ask for a debt limit increase. I have to cut back my spending.
Mm-hmm.
And so does everyone listening to this show. And so do you. We don't have the power to go tax and increase taxing and just pretend that it's not a problem. This is disgusting. Like we said, what is the saying that Daniel Horowitz said? I'm going to have to look it up. Do you remember it, Jason?
Oh. Like CNN, the GOP is the...
To political parties, what CNN is to news coverage.
Yep.
That's
yeah.
Help. Okay, we're going to talk a little bit about transgenders. That's just all over the place.
That is the topic of the week.
It is the topic of the week, and I normally talk about what big media won't, but this needs to be talked about, even if big media is talking about it. We've got in our own Colorado, Aurora, Colorado, the Aurora Police Department, as you, the listener, know, Trump tweeted earlier in the week that transgenders can no longer be in the military. And we don't know how that's going to play out. I don't really know how that's practically achieved. I don't know what administrivia needs to be taken care of. I don't know what that all means. But the idea is transgenders aren't going to serve in the military, at least under Trump's administration.
Yeah. That's what he's planning to do,
that's
I assume.
That's his plan.
Because I don't think a tweet is official.
Right.
But, you know, that's what his plan is.
So the Aurora Police Department, they've gone to tweeting, too.
Well, you got to jump on that bandwagon.
They're jumping on it, too. The Aurora Police Department, let's see, the chief, Nick Metz, tweeted on July 27th, that would have been Thursday. He says, to our trans community, if U.S. military won't take you, Aurora Police Department will. We need officers, dispatchers, CSI, admin, etc. See, join the APD at Aurora Pride on 8/5.
Okay. That is just the most... He is fishing for headlines with that.
Yeah, he is fishing for
headlines.
That's
what he's doing. I mean, it's not... It's to me, that just says, oh, well, we just need attention. We need everyone to keep looking at us. Because...
Well...
Why?
Two things here. We also have the Austin mayor... pretty much doing the same thing. The Austin mayor came out and said, if you're qualified, he tweeted this. His name is Mayor Adler. If you're qualified to keep our country safe, you're qualified to keep Austin safe. Transgender Americans are welcome on our police force. Austin is the safest big city in Texas, partly because we know our differences make us a stronger community. Then, Houston Police Chief Art Acevedo. He formerly served as Austin's chief of police. Now he's the Houston chief of police. He tweeted as well. He said, if you served honorably in the U.S. Army, U.S. Navy, U.S. Marine Corps, U.S. Coast Guard, or U.S. Air Force and want to continue serving, join us at Houston Police. We're about here. Heart. We're about heart. Okay, so this is all great. This all sounds really sweet. But didn't we just experience the fallout of hiring
affirmative action?
Yes.
In Minneapolis.
Yes.
I was just thinking that.
Yes. When are we going to quit playing games with military, with the positions in our society and in our country that are put in place to defend and protect? When are we going to quit playing games with these? Because in Minnesota, the affirmative action policy there motivated the Minnesota Police Department to hire a Somali a couple years ago.
Well, they had to, according to affirmative
they
action.
Had
they
to.
Had to.
And they made a great big celebration about this on Facebook and how they were so excited to hire this Somali guy.
And how great we are because we hired him.
Yeah. And Mr. Somali guy murdered an innocent woman 2 weeks ago, an innocent Australian woman who called the police department about something going on her street, a sexual assault or something.
Yeah.
And as she approached the police car, the Minnesota police car, the driver did not commit the murder, but there were two policemen in the car. The passenger police officer was this Somali, and he pulled out his firearm, reached across the driver, and shot through the driver's window and murdered the Australian woman who called in the incident. And the mayor of Minnesota, I think it was the mayor or the chief of police, celebrated again, came out and apologized to the Somali community after this murder took place, and didn't say a word about Americans or Australians who got murdered.
Murdered.
And I'm just saying, when is the experimentation with identity politics going to end? Because this is just flat out ridiculous.
Yeah. When are they going to start caring about getting the job done correctly and saving and protecting people instead of just trying to be politically correct?
Yeah. I mean, the Aurora Police Department chief, that's just nonsense.
He's fishing for headlines.
He
really
is.
He's
fishing for headlines.
Because, I mean, honestly, it should be number one, can you do the job correctly and not endanger anyone else? Because that is an important job.
Right.
And then, okay, whatever you tend to be afterwards, that's fine. You know, mm-hmm. That's where discrimination happens. But first, it should be the job. But what he's saying is, we don't care what the military thinks because, you know, they're picking and choosing the best of the best. We just want whatever.
Well,
okay.
And you
have
some comments about the whole transgender in the military that we didn't get to share on air. So, kind of tell the listener here. Your thoughts on that. You were talking about flat feet,
well,
diabetics.
I attribute, if you, there's so many different ways that this is wrong. And I mean, I agree with Trump that they shouldn't be allowed in at this point because there's so many questions. I mean, there's so many people who bring up the whole financial aspect of it. Oh, we spend so much more money on what have you, on these other things for, you know, Army veterans or people in the military. Why can't we spend the small portion on transgender issues? I have no problem with that. What I have a problem with is if you are not capable of doing it, and we can't test you for that because if you're a transgender, if you're taking hormones, how does that affect your ability to do anything? How does that affect your mindset? I mean, how do we should treat it like a medical issue like it is, and we don't allow people with diabetes in. We don't allow people with asthma in if you have a heart condition. Those people aren't rioting. Last time I checked, we didn't have a huge riot of diabetics who said, well, we can't be in the military, so this is our civil right. It's not a civil right to be in the military. It's not a right at all.
That's exactly what I wanted you to tell.
That is, it's so infuriating because there's so many, there's 15 different layers of reasons why they should be picking and choosing the best of the best. I'm not the best of the best. You don't see me rioting. I'm not out there in the street.
Exactly.
I'm sorry. I understand. Hey, you know, this job takes a lot, and I just don't meet that requirement.
Yeah.
It's not because I'm a a minority or I'm a white or I'm a I'm not too tall or I'm too short. There's so many issues.
I know. There are.
But they choose this one to be a civil right? Really?
Yeah. Well, here's something I wanted to comment on. I posted on Facebook, on my public page. You can find it at facebook.com/momforfreedom, M-O-M, the number for freedom. I borrowed a quote from a friend, Dennis Lisby, and the quote is this. It's about the Aurora police chief tweeting. And I see humor in it because there does have to be some humor in it, but there's also some seriousness in it. The quote is, let's take some people who literally can't scientifically deduce their own gender and strap guns and badges to them. What could possibly go wrong?
Yeah.
And I think that's, there's a lot of validity to that. And I got a response. I got a response from a guy named Rick. He said, really, Michelle? Because what could go wrong with strapping a gun and a badge on some ultra-aggressive wannabe alpha male with a chip on his shoulder? And I thought about that. And
okay.
Rick, this is a totally different premise. You're focusing on a potential behavior issue from an ultra-aggressive wannabe alpha male with a chip on his shoulder. Well, there's actually probably some merit in hiring an ultra-aggressive wannabe alpha male with a chip on his shoulder in a position that's going to be defending and protecting. And, I mean, you could take that as extreme as you want, but you can't have really super passive, you know, laid-back people defending and protecting. That's not my strong point here. What I'm really trying to say is when you hire these people, number one, I think what you're referring to is the police brutality that goes on.
Yeah, no doubt. That's what he's doing.
There's no doubt that that goes on. But I'm going to say I don't believe that's the majority of the police force. I know there are some people beg to differ with me on that, and I'm not going to agree. I've met some law enforcement guys, and they're some of the most wonderful guys I know. And are there bad apples in every bunch? Absolutely. And should they be out? Absolutely. Police brutality has no place in a free constitutional republic. We're not talking about that in this realm. We're talking about it's kind of like when we're talking about the military. Do they? I'll go back to what I said on air. I don't really. I have sympathy for someone who's confused with their gender identity. That's a bad place to be. I'd never been in that place. I was a bit of a tomboy as a kid, but I certainly didn't, you know, try to become a boy. Never even occurred to me because I was born a certain way and I'm not going to try to, you know, artificially change things. But Dennis has a point. Let's take some people who literally can't scientifically deduce their own gender and strap guns and badges to them. What could possibly go wrong? There's some merit in that statement.
Well, and not only that, if you dive into the facts, I mean, you're more depressed. It's proven that they're more depressed. They commit suicide at 45%, I believe.
Yeah.
I mean, that is something you don't want to. If you take a mentally unstable person, whether that's transgender or not, you wouldn't want to give someone who's bipolar a weapon.
Yeah.
So why would you hand it to someone who can potentially do that? It's a higher risk.
Well, and the whole transgender transitioning process, there are drugs, there are hormones. I don't know all that's involved. It's certainly not as simple as you go in for a surgery and you're done. You're a girl who you used to be a girl, now you're a guy or vice versa. It's just not that easy. Hormones affect how we think, how we feel. No, you don't bring this in. And like you said, if they're struggling with this and they have to make a public issue of it, why are they in a public place where they're defending and protecting people? It's just, to me, an emotionally, potentially emotionally chaotic situation, just like it would be in the military. It's a distraction.
Yeah.
And honestly, I was thinking about it today. If someone's truly transgender, I heard There was a report on some transgender conference that took place, mm-hmm. and someone went in and, you know, learned about it. And one of the ultimate goals is to, as a transgender, complete the process so that nobody knows. Nobody can mm-hmm. tell. Well, that's like the ultimate goal. Mm-hmm. And if that's not the ultimate goal, why are you doing it, is my question. If you're not trying to actually, if you want to maintain elements of guy with elements of girl and confuse people, I think there's a problem with that. That to me is someone making a statement. If you're going to go do it, and you do it to where you've actually completed the transformation and no one can tell, I really don't care as long as you don't hurt somebody. I really don't. And I don't want to know. I truly don't want to know. I knew a guy this had to be 25 years ago when I worked in the corporate world, who said he was born with, for lack of a better term on air, confused parts.
Okay.
Elements of both.
Okay.
I guess there are those people out there. And he was actually undergoing the surgery and everything. This was like 25 years ago. To become a girl, and everybody in the office knew it.
Now, did he decide that, or did they say, well, you lean more towards a female, so you should probably go female? Or
best I can remember, he really felt the calling to be a female.
Okay, so it was his choice. The doctors didn't tell him, hey, you know,
mm-mm.
Okay.
Mm-mm. And I watched, I didn't know him really well. I worked with him every day, so I kind of saw what was going on. And I probably worked with him for about 6 months. And, you know, I was there when he left to go off to the surgery. And I don't know that I don't think he came back by the time I had quit, you know, after the surgery. But yeah. I do know some. I've met some of these people. And the human part of me, I don't want to forget that these are humans, and these are individuals, and that they are struggling. I'd never want to forget that. And I'm not in a place to condemn them for what they're doing. I just don't want them shoving it in my face. And I don't appreciate the chief of police. I don't appreciate the president of the United States, meaning Obama, telling me that I have to accept this. This is, if it's truly transgender, it should be private and no one needs to know about it. I think that's just where I fall on it. I feel sorry for these people that they're this confused and this upset that they would mutilate themselves and undergo all this stuff. And I don't think parents, it's child abuse if parents are enabling this and letting them do it.
In small children.
Yeah, in small children.
And I totally agree with you. It should be, in my mind, it is a medical issue. Bottom line, I mean, I don't go out and advocate for my diabetes or my heart disease. I want to find a solution to it.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm not out there fighting for my rights as a diabetic.
And being the victim and with
and being a victim, and you need to help me because I'm like, no, it's an issue that I take care of, and that's my personal battle.
Yeah.
Or what have you. It shouldn't be thrown in everyone's, well, Michelle, you didn't like me very much. It must be because I'm a diabetic.
Right, exactly.
You know, my flat feet, is that why you judge me? No.
The flat feet.
It's because of the person you are, not because of these extenuating circumstances, unless you exaggerate it. When these people decide to be part and part, they're really exaggerated, it's like, come on, you're seeking attention.
Yes. When it's a guy who's clearly a guy who's trying to look like a woman but can incorporate elements of both, it's, you know, what's the point?
I mean, everyone has their own personal choice. You can do whatever you want, but don't be the victim when you decide to do that.
Yeah.
You made that choice. No one told you you had to.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, I think we've covered the transgender issue in depth here, and we've covered the GOP that is to politics what CNN is to news. And we've got so much more to cover here, and we've run out of time for this podcast tonight. But thank you for joining us on the Michelle Morin After Hours podcast with Jason. We will be back every Sunday live on air at AM 740 KVOR from 9 to 11 p.m. And check the KVOR website for all my podcasts. And please tune in and stay in touch. Have a wonderful week, and we'll talk to you next Sunday.